1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2. We have the Apostle Paul, and he makes this statement, and he's given what is preached to them before in this statement. He says, "I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There was a contention among the Corinthians. And look at verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren," right before that he says, "according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So he didn't come with that of excellency of speech, but he just declared the very testimony of God. And, you know, when one comes in man's wisdom, that distracts from the Word of God, and that of the piercing effect of the Word of God. The Spirit takes the Word of God and applies it to the heart. Carnal wisdom may charm that of the ear, but it's the Spirit that reaches the heart. So we find Paul, he is determined that everything be to the glory of God, and the very gospel is to his glory. Then he gives us the doctrine that is found here in verse 2 of the crucified Christ, the crucified Savior. And he sets before us the cross and the crucifixion. He says, "I am determined," or "I determine," and that is not to know anything among you. He says, "I'm judging that this is most profitable," that this is profitable and most profitable unto you. He says, "I know that not to know anything among you." All the traditions, see, some of them held to traditions, and he says it's Christ. Others held to the philosophy of the world, it's Christ. In that day they had the poets that would give them religion and so forth. He says it's Christ. It's not these things. It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's the deity of Christ. It's His person. It's His glory. And the gospel gives us the riches of it all. And we see Paul is taken up with one thing. He's taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to know anything save Jesus Christ. Who was he taken up with? It's Christ Jesus, isn't it? Christ and his death. And that's the choicest subject for that of the ear. We find, as we would study this, and again, this is a study of Christ and him crucified. We just study him. There's to be a knowledge of him. We find over here in 1 Corinthians and verse 18, it says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God." It's the very power of God. Now let's look at his death in a few minutes this morning, some things about it. Turn with me over to the book of Acts. Just turn back a little bit to the book of Acts. In chapter number 2. And verse number 23, as we start out, we'll see something about it right here. Acts 2 and 23. His death was ordered. It was decreed. Look at it. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Here's Christ crucified. And it says he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was decreed in heaven, wasn't it? It's been decreed. It was decreed. Then he also puts responsibility upon man. He says, "You have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain." So here's two aspects of it. Men did what they wanted to do. They were guilty of what they did. But yet we see that it's by the determined counsel of God, wouldn't it? It's decreed of God. It was something that was promised in the scripture as Adam failed. We find that the sacrifices, God instituted the sacrifices, and this is a picture of redemption. And these believers in the Old Testament, they looked toward Christ's crucifixion. This typified in the Old Testament the sacrifices to Christ's death, to His crucifixion. And the merits of Christ's death was applied unto them even though it had not happened. Just as it's applied to us after it happened, it was applied to them before it happened. The Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, it says there He was made sin. God had made Him sin for us. Made Him. Not by us, but God has done this. And we find that what He performed, here's His crucifixion, and what He performed, it was for us. It was accepted to the Father for us. It's supplied by the Spirit to us. And we know that God is sovereign in all that He does, and He chose to do this out of His wisdom. Here's the way that He chose for redemption. So, in His sovereignty, He set up the Son to be a sacrifice, set Him up to be a surety, set Him up to be a redeemer, and He gave Him this work to do. Now, it was an act of love. If we read the Scriptures and study the Scriptures and study the crucifixion, you see love. That's what it is. Herein is love, the Scripture says. So God, the Creator, as He beheld man, and He made man in His own image, the Scripture says, and He made him, He gave him graces, He had a holiness about Him, Adam did, He was upright. But man chose to rebel against God. And yet, in that rebellion, we see God's grace. We see His mercy. We see His goodness. Look at all the privileges that He had given to Adam. Adam walked with God, didn't he? He had all of these privileges. But yet, we find that he ruined himself. We find the misery that he partook in because of sin. And Adam and Eve was not able to recover themselves. We find that they hid themselves. They covered themselves with the fig leaves. They did all of these things. They're not able to recover themselves. Look at even their will. They would not come to God. They tried to make excuses, Adam did. And it just added to that of his crime and to his rebellion. But we see God in His great love and His grace. He sent a way of recovery. And we find that's what the cross is. We find rather than Adam to perish, and he should perish for that of his sins, we see God would transfer that punishment unto a victim, didn't we? And had a picture of Christ in the crucifixion. There's one equal to God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the most beloved. He was God's delight. He was dearer than anything in heaven or earth, Christ. No wonder John says, herein is love. He sent His Son to be a propitiation for us, for sin, to be a propitiation to appease the very wrath of God. So we see that it was love that restored man after the fall, and there's no reason but love. God didn't have to do this. We find that angels sinned, and they was left to the estate that they plunged themselves into. But here's grace, and we find that God would punish His own Son. Here's the grace and mercy and goodness of God. We also find when we look at Christ's crucifixion an act of justice. Christ came out of love. He came to honor the Father. He willingly undertook this upon Himself He put himself between us and divine wrath. That's what the mediator did. He put himself. And that's what Christ did. He stood in our stead, the Bible says, to bear our sins. This was an act of justice. And here's God, the lawgiver. Here's God, the just and the judge. And he demanded punishment for the transgression of man. We read over in the book of Isaiah that God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He laid it upon Christ Jesus. He took the punishment himself. And as the scripture says, to bear our sins in his own body upon the tree, he became responsible for our transgression. Yet he'd never sinned. Christ had never sinned. But he stood as our surety. He stood in our stead. And he put himself, when we look at the cross and look at him crucified, we're looking at this, he put himself in the way of punishment. What was due us was laid upon him. And the surety paid the price. Our sins, the Bible says, is imputed unto him. We find that he emptied himself. He left heaven's glory. He came to this earth. He was Lord of angels, but yet he took the nature of a servant. And he went to the cross and shed his blood. Christ crucified, humbled himself. Now, he's greater than heaven itself. He's the greatest of all. But yet he went to the cross, didn't he? There's his willingness to suffer. He consented to it, and he accomplished it. That he needed to accomplish. He wasn't driven. He voluntarily, the scripture says, he went to the cross. He willingly took the cup that was put before him. As a lamb, it talks about before his shears is dumb. There's Christ. As he willingly underwent this, the greatness of his suffering, the bitterness that was associated with the cross. We find in the New Testament time that the cross was that which was for the malefactors and those that had committed great crimes. It was for the slaves and malefactors, the most despicable of characters. Just think about the shame of the Lord Jesus Christ being upon the cross for those that said the world is not fit to live in the world. Here's Christ, perfect, the very Lamb of God, spotless, pure, holy, upon the cross. What shame. They even spat upon him. We know it was cruel. One of the most cruel ways of putting one to death. We see him being scourged with Pilate. Is called an accursed death in the scriptures. The Bible says he was made a curse for us. I think the greatest of all of his suffering was when there was that black cloud between God and him. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Would that be the greatest of all his suffering? So he preached Christ crucified. Now, I want to turn and talk about the fruits of his death, the outcome of it, the accomplishment of it. And that's what Paul would include in this. As he talked about Christ crucified, he would say the results of it, the outcome of it. One is that it appeased the very wrath of God for us. Now, this is the only way that the wrath of God can be appeased. Now, wouldn't that be great fruit this morning, and important fruit, that God's wrath would be appeased toward us? There's God in his threatening, and God, as he threatened against sin, and he must carry out his word. Then the Bible say, he that sinneth shall die. Isn't death associated with sin? It is. And there's God's word, and he had to carry it out, didn't he? He never turns from his word. So we find that Christ took God's wrath in our very place. Here's a merciful God, and one that would pity us, but He would not let sin go unpunished. Here's a holy God that hates sin, but here's that of His wrath being appeased by the death of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cross is called reconciliation. It's reconciliation to those that believe, to the believers. The cross brings us to God. We can be friends to God through the cross, can't we? Through Christ's crucifixion. That's the fruit of it. The crucified Redeemer alone is able to affect this for us. Him and His nature, that divine and human nature. No creature or angel was able to do this. They was too weak for this. But Christ frees us. Justice is calmed. Can you see it this morning? For Christ's death, the crucifixion, that the fruit of it is that the wrath of God is turned away. It came up, Ephesians says, it came up before God as a sweet savor. That of a sweet smell before the very nostrils of God. And that goes back to the Old Testament and the savor that was used there. He fully pleased God. Christ did. And now there's pardon of sins. There's pardons of sin to the believer. And he's justified. And we see God's justice and His holiness that this glorifies. The honor of the law is preserved. We find also that Christ, His crucifixion, quenched the flames against us, didn't it? Isn't that what it done? The wrath. Oh, our sins is put away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He secured us from the very sword of wrath, the divine vengeance upon sin by taking it upon Himself. That was the fruit of it. Then also, here again is the fruit of Christ's crucifixion is that it silenced the law. You know, the law thunders out and it says, do, do. Man, by his nature, could not keep the law of God. It says do, and he cannot. He cannot do. He cannot be perfect. The law calls for perfection. It thunders out, do this, do this. So He redeemed us this morning from the curse of the law. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ. And the Bible goes on and says we're dead to the law. And what can the law do to the one that's dead? It says, we're dead to it. It has no condemning power. What the law did was it sentenced us to death because of sin. It sentenced us. But here we find Christ took that sentence upon Himself. Christ died. And we find He fulfilled the penalty of the law. In His life, He fulfilled the law by His obedience. And as He stood, He was a substitute for us. You know, as we study the crucifixion, it stands out to us the substitutionary atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He was substituted in our place. And what did He do? He silenced the law against us. The law that stood against us, that thundered against us, that said, do, and we've not done. The law that says, do, and we've broke. Here is Christ, and He silenced that law. It even goes further than that. He's removed our guilt. God the judge is now satisfied. God the judge is appeased. The law's been canceled out and there's been a removal of guilt. We have the forgiveness of sin. Or in the book of Ephesians, it talks about our forgiveness through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no creditor now in pursuit of us. See, we look and we say, Christ is paid. Here's the crucifixion. He's paid. There's no creditor coming after debt anymore. And we were debtors, but we had nothing to pay. We were bankrupt as debtors, wasn't we? Bankrupt. We didn't have any pay. Couldn't pay. And we see that in Christ it's all paid. It's canceled. They used to have in the Bible days, they'd take a debt, they would put a nail in it and pin it to the wall. And that's why it says He's nailed our sins to the cross. That's what He was doing, canceling our very debt. So the justice of God, Christ has paid it before the justice of God, and He didn't require a double payment. It's not that Christ paid and man's going to pay, but Christ paid and man's free. I detest anything that says there's going to be a double payment. God's justice never demands double payment. It's Christ. And if He's paid for our sins, He's paid for our sins. We find that Christ, the Bible says He bore our penalty. And because He bore our penalty, we're acquitted of the debts. There's a sin nature that we have. There's the sin of our person also, and there's many offenses, but His death is under justification. And again, you find the figure of the Old Testament, the scapegoat, in which they would take and confess the sins upon that goat and send it out in the wilderness, never to be seen again. That's a picture of what we're talking about here. The fruit of the crucifixion is that our guilt is removed. It's been sent away. The crucifying Christ is worth knowing, as Paul says to us here, to know Him. Determined to not know anything else. Isn't that worth knowing this morning? Isn't that the thing that's worth knowing in this world today? Is Christ, His crucifixion? Knowing it as it applies to us in our very hearts and our lives. The Bible tells us He's obtained an eternal redemption for us. The Bible says He's given His life as a ransom for us. His blood is a ransom for us. Now another fruit this morning of this crucified Christ is this, that He bruised Satan's head. Isn't that worth knowing this morning? That's another thing this morning of this knowledge. Christ crucified that old serpent. He's bruised His head. That's what Christ's crucifixion has done. And that was promised in the Scripture. And here the Bible says the accuser is cast out, destroying him that has the power of death. The cross disarms him. There's a victory over Satan, the cross. You know, they looked at it, and those that didn't have eyes to see, those that didn't have spiritual eyes to see, it looked like just one being put to death. But the Bible sets it forth as victory. The Bible sets it forth as destroying the works of the devil. You know, the devil's empire was reared up because of the ruin of man by sin. And now sin is put away by Christ. And we find that the punishment is no longer because that it's been put away by Christ. The authority of Satan is taken away. You see, that's something worth knowing this morning, knowing the crucifixion of Christ, that He takes away the venom of the serpent. That He broke His power. Darkness. He's vanquished by His blood. There is a conquer and a thank by Christ's Spirit. That's another fruit this morning, the bruising of Satan's head. Then another fruit this morning is that we're washed. We're washed. Christ came by water and blood, the Scripture says. There He came by blood to put away our sins, and by water to purify our souls. You remember when they pierced Him, blood and water came out, didn't it? There's the water for washing, the blood to put away our sins, remove our spots, our pollution. See, this has to be removed before we can go to the throne of God. Before we can come before Him, our pollution has to be removed. We have to be washed. And again, that's the effect of the cross. Now we have access to the throne. And the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne. His death is to purify. Gives us new life, a new nature. It brings us into communion with God. His death, the Bible says, is made unto us sanctification. That is, we're set apart by His death. Isn't that something worth knowing today? Christ's crucifixion, that we're washed by, we're cleansed by. Another fruit is that He opens heaven for us. See, that's a better place. Adam lived in paradise. It was called paradise. But heaven's better than paradise, isn't it? We find that by the law of sin, man is reduced to dust. The Bible says dust is made out of dust, he goes back to. But Christ purchased the redemption of the body. He redeemed the body. And that's going to be evidence in the resurrection. See, here again, He opens heaven for us. He's purchased eternal life. The Bible says to be with Him. Be with Him is heaven. See, we lost paradise with sin, but we gained heaven by the cross. We gain heaven by the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is fruit from His death. Now what's before us this morning is that we ought to be thankful for a crucified Redeemer. In this most, most amazing this morning of that us all in heaven and earth, that here's the crucified Redeemer. And the love that's due God because of Christ's crucifixion. The love that is due Christ this morning because of the crucifixion. That God gave us His Son. And He not only gave Him to live for us, but He gave Him to die for us. Such a shameful and accursed death. We are to love Christ, who is our surety, that He paid the whole sum. He paid it all. Who was numbered among the transgressors. He was numbered there that we might be among the blessed. Oh, this morning, we look at Him, He trod the winepress alone. The Bible says the cup and that which was in the cup of His suffering, said He drank the very dregs of it. It was all because of love. So His death this morning is the grounds for the good that has come to us. The grace that has come to us. This morning, don't talk about grace outside of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't talk about grace outside of Christ. So, His death. You know, if He hadn't suffered, we'd have no fruits of the cross, would we? those fruits that we've talked about. We wouldn't have those this morning if he wasn't a crucified Savior. We'd be rejected forever outside of the cross. We'd be rejected from the throne of God. Over in Ephesians it says we have access by Christ. Is him crucified, we have access to the throne. Salvation would never have been if it wasn't for Christ's crucifixion this morning. Salvation would have never been. But by the cross, God is pleased. God this morning, by the cross, salvation and blessings come to us today by the cross. Without the cross, would man have been happy and happy forever? See, there's happiness forever. Without the cross, God's displeased. Without the cross this morning, man's at enmity against God. Without the cross. Without the cross, man would never see him or have access to him. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, he performed many things in his life as he walked upon the face of the earth. He performed miracles. Look at all the miracles that he did. Look at all the kindness that he did. But the cross, we find there, as he hung there, is the difference. He did that to effect our deliverance. What if he just done miracles this morning and worked miracles? We needed the cross, didn't we? We needed the crucified Savior. What if he just walked on the earth and we know he performed all this kindness and compassion? But yet, we needed the cross. We needed the crucifixion. And it was a cost to him. What love when we see the cross. Oh, this morning, this knowledge and delight and knowledge of Christ's crucifixion, it ought to be in our thoughts and our very study of Christ crucified. Him living, but also dying. To know him, that's the great object of faith, to know Christ and him crucified. There's the belief of the cross and the redemption that is wrought. If he just lived, he'd not been our Savior if that was all that he did was come to this earth. But faith, we see him not only living, but we see him dying. We see him shedding his blood for us. Oh, this morning, those miracles that he wrought and so forth, there had to be the very cross. And without the cross and the crucifixion, we'd be God's enemies forever. Satan would have been the executioner. Without the cross, we'd had to bear our own punishment for sin. It'd been upon ourselves. Without the cross this morning, there'd be no heaven. Without the cross, there'd be no reconciliation. But we see his death has redeemed us and bought us. Every blessing that we have comes to us by Christ. And it comes to us through the crucifixion of Christ. That's how it comes to us. This morning to look at the cross or bring repentance to our very hearts as we see him. Bring sorrow for sin. We see what sin caused him and our sin caused him. Our sins caused him to suffer. It ought to melt us this morning. And we know that our sins is against the very compassion of God and Christ. And we look at it this morning. It's to bring repentance to us. We also see this. We see the blood confirming that everlasting covenant.
Faith sees the mercy of God, and it's a great assurance of the promises of God. We see that God gave Christ. Shall He not with Christ give us all things, the Scripture says? Doesn't that enhance faith this morning as it looks at Christ and sees Him as a crucified one? If God's done this for us and given Him, shall He not give us the lesser things? This morning it gives us boldness and confidence in coming to God. You may come in Christ. You're invited to come in Christ. You're welcome in Christ. An old Puritan, I read this many, many years ago. He says, when you go to God, take Christ in your arms. Take the crucified Christ. His death. Through the crucified Christ, the throne is open to us. God hears us. He says, but why He hears us? Would He have heard us if it wasn't for the crucified Christ? But now He has an ear to hear us. And it's all because of the cross. This morning, this brings comfort to us. And it's the foundation for our comfort. The cross is that Christ is a surety that we are crucified in Him. We live in Him. We died in Him. We're buried in Him. We're resurrected in Him. This morning, it brings comfort that He bore our sins away. He put them away by His death. This morning, we know that we're accepted in the Beloved, in the crucified Christ. We're accepted. It's not man or angels that we're accepted, but it's the crucified Christ. Do you see this morning the knowledge of Him, how important that it is? That is our comfort. That is our peace. Could you have real, lasting, true peace without this knowledge today? A knowledge of Christ crucified. A knowledge that His blood blots out our very sins. A knowledge of Christ, how important that it is. As we look at it today, you see, and we see the horror. If one would see the wrath of God, it's like one, if he saw in the old West days, and we see these Westerns, and they've got one, and he's in the jail, and he's looking out there, and they're building the gallows for him. Wouldn't that be terrible? But oh, to see that our sins are put away, that propitiation is made, appeasement has been made, God's anger is turned away. That the law is satisfied. There's no condemnation. That would bring a calm, wouldn't it? And a comfort. Oh, see what it is to look to the crucified Christ. What His suffering has done. What His death, how it disarmed the very law of God. And how His blood washes us from our sins. How His death. There was instructions to our enemies. And we owe it this morning. And the apostle here. This is a testimony of divine love. And the apostle says to know nothing this morning among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What is all the other knowledge? Without this knowledge. What is all the understanding without this understanding of Christ crucified? May we ponder this and study this. As chief among Paul, wasn't it? As chief among him. He said, I consider this profitable to you. All this other, don't worry about it. But here's that which is profitable unto you. It's profitable. I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What an important knowledge. is Christ in Him crucified. Our Father, take the message. We know that His feeble lips, we are clay, but we know by Thy Spirit that You can take this message and apply it to our hearts. Oh, the fruit of His death. Blessings has come to us. Oh, what a blessing to have our sins put away. Oh, to be cleansed from our sins. We will thank You and we praise You. Bless those that sat before us and those who hear this message. Bless them, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.